Hey, Randy, what you doing?
Oh, hey, Dave. I'm just making a list of things that make me feel really, really good.
Wearing Bombas socks.
Trust me, that's number one on my list. Bombas socks feel so good because we use the smartest design and best materials, making them the most comfortable socks ever.
Plus, because socks are the number one most requested clothing item in homeless shelters, we donate a pair for every pair purchased, and that feels pretty good too.
To shop Bombas or learn more about how your purchase supports those experiencing homelessness, go to bombas.com/comfy and get 20% off your first purchase. Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. The message this evening is, I always like to say, it's just a refresher, if you will. I just come just to remind you of a few words from God, and fear not. You know, before we can move on, do whatever God wants us to do, he always wants to tell us first that we got to get rid of this fear. Fear not, from Genesis to Revelation. Fear not, from Genesis to Revelations. Fear versus faith. We're going to talk a little bit about that. How many know from Genesis to Revelation, the word of God admonishes us to cast away fear. That four-letter word that means so much. The word of God tells us, fear not. We all know what fear is. We all know how it makes us feel. We all know how it makes us think, how it controls our mind if we allow it to. We all know how it makes us to behave. That fear, that word, fear, we know what it means. We know how it makes us feel. Webster's Dictionary says, I looked it up and I said, you know, I know what it says. I know what it means. But I'm just going to do a little study on it. Webster's Dictionary defines fear as anxiety caused by real or possible danger or pain. Fear and anxiety caused by real or possible danger, pain. You know, I think spiritually speaking, fear is anxiety caused by not trusting God. I believe fear is an anxiety caused by not trusting God. Spiritually, fear is a trick of the enemy. It's an attractment to keep us from trusting in him. Fear is a snare, is a trap. That's what entrapment is. Causes us to take our eyes off of God and stay focused on the problem. Fear is a serious tool that is used by the devil to keep us in bondage, to keep us in bondage. Well, we know the word of God tells us something about that, don't we? So we're going to go first to Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. That's Philippians 4 and 6. I know you are already familiar with that. Philippians 4 and 6. We're talking about fear not this evening. The word of God in Philippians 4, 6 says, be careful for nothing. That means don't be anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Fear. We're talking about fear not this evening. Fear, F-E-A-R. I've often heard it referred to as false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Fear. Fear versus faith. Fear will paralyze us. It will keep you from moving forward and doing everything that God would have you to do. Fear will paralyze us. Faith, on the other hand, propels us. It positions us to receive with joy all that he has for us. Amen. Faith is hope in action. From Genesis to Revelation, we find examples throughout the Bible, and we're going to talk about some of those examples this evening, where God first told his people to fear not before he told them anything else. You see, God knew something. God, a God of order. God knew that in order to get man to trust him, in order to get man to trust him so he could go to the next level, before he could get man to free up his own mind to believe in him, before he could get man to totally trust and depend on him, fear had to be dealt with. So God, as I said, being a God of order instructed man oftentimes to fear not, and he does the same thing with us today. You see, God knew what that awful spirit of fear would do to man. He knew it because he knew where that spirit came from. God knew that the spirit of fear didn't come from him. See, it was not a gift that God bestowed on us. God knew that. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. You probably can read that without even looking at it, right? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." God knew all throughout his word, from Genesis to Revelation, that man had to cast away fear before he could receive anything from God. Let's go to Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis, the 15th chapter. We're going to look at Abraham. And actually, this time in Genesis 15, he was still known as Abram. Okay, his name hadn't been changed yet. Has God changed your name? Abram. His name was later changed to Abraham. Now, let me give you some history on this before we get to the 15th chapter. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, is where God instructed Abraham to leave his people, to leave his land, get out of his country, and God sends him to a place that he knew not where, a strange land. Abram had to leave his father's house, and he obeyed God, and he did that. He took a couple people with him. Lot, his nephew, was one of them, okay? Now, in Genesis, the 14th chapter, moved up a couple chapters. Abraham's nephew, Lot, had been captured, okay? And God allowed Abraham to rescue him. So Abraham was victorious in the deliverance of his nephew. So here we are in chapter 15, okay? So you can turn over there to chapter 15. Let's see. We're going to go 15:1, but I just want to share a little bit more with you. In chapter 15, this was sometime, we don't know quite when, after the deliverance of Lot, the Lord made a covenant promise to Abram. He told him, "Because of your faithfulness, I'm going to reward you. Your reward's going to be great." God knew, though. He knew something, because he knows everything, doesn't he? He knew that Abram couldn't fully receive from him because he was still living in fear, and he was still living in doubt. You see, Abram was looking around at his circumstances. What about you tonight? Abram was looking around on what he did not have, instead of looking at and trusting and believing God for what God said he could have. Abraham knew he was childless at this time. And so God had already told him, you see, that he was going to make him a father of many nations. He had shared that with him before. So Abraham's thinking to himself, how on earth am I going to be blessed? And how can you call me a man of a great nation when I don't even have one child? Abraham, you know, we question God, you know. And so Abram's thinking to himself, how can you tell me I'm going to be blessed with many offspring, that I'm going to be blessed with many seeds? How can you tell me to count the stars up there, and that as many stars that I can't even count, that's how far reaching my offspring is going to be, when I don't even have one son, one child yet? How can my name be great, thinks Abram. How can I be the father of a great nation? Abram, you see, was looking at his current circumstances. He was looking at the as-is state, if you will. He really hadn't fully grasped who God is, that God had created the end before the beginning. And the same God knew everything about all the descendants. So God being a God of order, tells Abram in the 15th chapter, the first verse, fear not. So let's go over there. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thou shield, and thou exceeding great reward." I'm going to read 2-6. And Abram said, "Lord God, what would thou givest me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram further says to God, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir." And the fourth verse says, "And behold, the word of the Lord," the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And the fifth and the sixth verse says, and he, talking about God, brought him, talking about Abraham, forth abroad, and says to him, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And said unto him, so shall thy seed be. God takes Abraham out, and he tells him, look up, look up. Don't keep looking around at what you can see around you. Look up. See those stars up there? See how many stars are up there? As many as you can number them, so shall thy seed be. And the sixth verse, after God had told Abraham, fear not, you see, he believed in the Lord. And the word of God says, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Because Abraham believed in the Lord, God counted him as righteousness. God is saying something to you today. Fear not, my child. I am your shield. I'm your protector. Against all enemies, I am your protector. Against all odds, I am thy exceeding great reward. Know ye not that it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the desires of your heart? I just want you to trust me and delight yourself in me. Fear not, be still, and know that I am God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not. You see, it was only after Abram dealt with the spirit of fear that he could go to the next level. What about you this evening? Only when Abram trusted God. You see, you got to deal with this spirit of fear. You got to get rid of it. And I said deal with it in order to let go and let God. Let God be God in your life. See, God's going to be God, but are you allowing him to be Lord in your life? You can't allow your circumstances to control you. Can't allow your situation, what it looks like right now, to determine the outcome. And I always like to think about this. Don't look back on what you've done in the past or what's happened to you in the past, because your past does not determine your future. Your past does not determine your future, so fear not. We're talking about a God this evening that's faithful and true, so fear not. We're talking about a God who's Alpha, that's the beginning, and Omega, the beginning and the end of all things, so fear not. From Genesis to Revelation, the same God who was with Abraham, see, his name did get changed, Abraham, he trusted God, and God told him, fear not. The same God is the same God that's with us today. And he speaks with us today through his word, through his Holy Spirit. We are talking about a God that knows everything, even our thoughts. Think about that for a minute. He even knows what we're thinking even before we think them. Because he created us, soul, body, and mind. He knows everything about us. We're talking about a God that is omnipotent, all-powerful. And he's given us, get this, I like this, he's given us the authority through his son Jesus Christ to cast away anything that's not of him. And I believe fear falls in that category. What about you? He's given us this authority through his son Jesus Christ to cast away fear, all fear, so that we can live victorious, completely trusted in him. Fear not. Talking about a God who didn't create fear, yet created opportunities for us to trust him. Talking about a God that didn't give us fear, because fear does not come from God. Yet even in the midst of our fear, he creates a way for us to escape. Talking about a God that wants us just to trust him. Talking about a God who wants us to walk according to the Spirit, so to what? So that we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Talking about God who wants us to put on the mind of Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, flesh has caused man to mess up. Genesis to Revelation, flesh has caused man to miss his blessings. Yet God admonishes man throughout all time, fear not. Flesh will cause us to yield to temptation. The temptation to doubt God, the temptation to do things our own way instead of following the path that God wants us to follow, the temptation to trust not in God but in our circumstances. When we walk in the Spirit, we walk according to faith and not by sight. When we walk in the Spirit, we walk according to faith and not by sight. How many know these five senses? Talking about the physical, can get us in trouble a lot of time. These senses, sense of smell, feeling, sight, going by what you see, hearing things, all the things that are going on in the world today, listening to all this bad stuff, it's going to cause us to embrace the spirit of fear, okay? But the spiritual senses, I like to call the spiritual senses the nine characteristics of Jesus, which is the fruit of the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, what? Amen. We won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to crucify the flesh, don't we? We need to crucify the flesh and allow his wonderful fruit that he's already given us to embrace faith. Faith, only doing those things that pleases him. The flesh desires us to be fearful. The Spirit desires us to be faithful. Let's go over to 2 Timothy 1:7. I think we talked about that a little bit earlier, and you don't have to turn back over there. But I just want to repeat that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. It didn't come from God. So why do we take something that doesn't come from God? From Genesis to Revelation, fear not. It's all about choices, isn't it? So whose report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? Whenever we're faced with circumstances, we have choices. We can either choose to allow fear to overtake us and cause us to lose out on our blessing, or we can choose to use the authority that has been vested in us. I like that. The authority that has been vested in us through the blood of Jesus, and say to the spirit of fear, in the name of Jesus, you have no authority here. In the name of Jesus, I cast you out right now. God gave us that authority through his son, Jesus Christ. James 4:7. Let's turn over to James 4:7. See, the devil got to do something when you call on the name of Jesus. He can't stick around when you call on the name of Jesus. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He's going to do what? He's going to flee from. What does flee mean? Flee means to go quickly. Doesn't say it mean he's just going to go slowly. It says the word of God, this is not my word, the word of God says the devil will flee from us if we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil. When we use the authority that is invested in us in the name of Jesus, we have the power to resist the devil. When we resist him, we're serving notice on him, serving notice on the devil. The any demonic spirits he has tried to assign to us, to our lives, got to flee. It's got to go quickly. It can't linger on. When you use the authority that has been vested in you in the name of Jesus, the devil will leave you quickly. He has no choice. Think about the natural when you get married or you go put for the judge and he says, the power that is invested in me, authority has been given to him by someone. But guess what? The authority that has been vested in us by God is through what? And through who? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. I think we don't really take that serious because we have the authority. God has given us everything we need to fight. Every weapon we need, we've already got it through his son, Jesus Christ. God's word still stands. And guess what? Just like night and day doesn't mix, fear and faith doesn't mix either. Just like right and wrong doesn't mix, fear and faith doesn't mix either. How can two walk together unless they agree? Oil and water does not mix, right? Faith and fear does not mix either. James 3:11 says, does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Of course not. Of course not. Fear and faith does not mix. You're either going to trust them or you're not. We're either going to trust him or we're not. If we trust him, that's faith. If we don't, that's fear. A double-minded man, James 1:8 says, is what? Unstable in all his ways. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he's got to flee. He's got to go. Use the authority that is already invested in you. Fear not, and grab a hold of what God has already provided, what God has already invested in us. For the word of God lets us know that we are already overcomers. See, we don't know who we are in Christ. We don't know who we, you know, we run from the devil instead of telling him he's got to run from us in the name of Jesus. See, in the midst of our problems, in the midst of your problem, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your tribulation, your circumstance, I dare you to start praising him. I dare you to start praising him. You say, I'm going through stuff right now. What do you mean stop and start praising? What's the word of God lets us know? Praise him for who he is. I could think of so many things for who he is. What is he in your life? I'm not talking right now about what he's done. I'm talking about who he is. I'm talking about praising him. Praise him. Because see, from Genesis to Revelation, he's the rock of all ages. I think that's good news. And that's something to praise him for. He's our redeemer. What about that? If that's not enough for you, think about the universe and how he created everything in order. The universe. God of gods. There is no other God before him. Lord of lords. We say this. We sing Lord of lords and King of kings. But they really, really, really think about what we're saying. That he is the Lord of lords. And he is the King of kings. And then if you've ever experienced something for yourself, if you've ever gone through emotional things for yourself, how many know he's a mind regulator? He can touch that mind, create in you a new mind. He's a financial advisor. Do we ever often think about that? Through his spirit? We spend lots and lots of money going to financial analysts. Holy Spirit is right here. He's a financial advisor. He's a doctor. And I tell you, he's never lost a patient. He's never lost a patient. He's our deliverer. He's our way maker. He's our healer. He's a prince of peace in Lilla the Valley. You know, you insert where he is to you. I'm just sharing with you what he is to me, okay? Then when you think about all those things, that's enough to praise him, right? Then think about everything he's done for you and everything you don't even know he's done. And then you start thanking him. Because, see, in the spirit world, he's already done everything. So we think about thanking him for what we could see. I know what he did for me last week. I know what he did for me last year. I know what he did for me yesterday, and we thank him for that. But wait a minute. Because God is a God of completeness, he's already taking care of tomorrow, too. So we need to go ahead and thank him for that. We don't see it. We don't go by sight. We don't feel it. We don't go by feelings. We just thank him for what he's done because he's already done it. And we just need to wait, line up, and wait for the manifestation to take place. Amen. He's already done it. So we need to thank him for what he's already done. We need to rely on the word of God to sustain us. The word of God will propel us. In the midst of anything we're going through, we can go to scriptures like Psalms 107. 107, 1-2. Let's turn over there. Psalm 107, 1-2. That's Psalms 107. And you can read it with me. If you really get a hold of the scripture and let it take root in your heart, the word of God tells us, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures for a little bit. Ever. And because we need to give thanks to him because he's good and that his mercy does endure forever, the second verse tells us something. Now, if you're not redeemed, he ain't talking to you. Okay? But the word of God says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what? What you gonna say? That he's good and that his mercy endures forever. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who's our redeemer? And he's redeemed. What does redeemed mean? When you think about it in the natural, I was telling the Sunday school class past Sunday, go to the store, you got money, and you wanna go and you wanna purchase something, right? So you take your dollar to the store. And in exchange for that dollar, you're going to redeem it for a product. So you come home and you get that product. You just redeemed it, right? But guess what? We've been bought with a price. We've been redeemed. I think that's enough to make us shout. We've been redeemed by Jesus' blood. He paid it all. And we're his now, those of us who are redeemed. Amen. So give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Now, James 1, okay, so you say, I'm going through something. Yes, I know I'm supposed to praise God. I know he's good. I know his mercy and do it forever. But you don't know what I'm going through right now. Well, I'm telling you what James 1, 2 says. James 1, 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Does that mean that This temptation right now, I can count this joy, but hey, this thing over here is such a mountain. And I don't know about rejoicing in this. When there's another scripture that says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So James says, count it all joy. Diverse temptation. When you're tempted to start complaining for what you don't see, count it all joy. Diverse temptation. When you're tempted to give up because he's taken way too long, count it all joy. Diverse temptation. When you're tempted to wander off into self-pity, me, myself, and I, woe is me. Nobody knows the problems I'm going through. You don't really have a clue. What the word of God says, count it all joy. Diverse temptations where you're tempted to take matters into your own hands and make a complete mess of things. Make a complete idiot of yourself. When things appear to be getting worse instead of better, what do? Count it all joy. Why? Why? Well, verse 3 answers that. Verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith. Well, there's something in me that needs to be worked out. I don't quite know what it is. I'm going through something that I don't understand it. But God tells me that it's working it out for my good. It's working out for my good. Something he's growing up in me. I may not know what it is, but all he wants us to do is trust him. He wants me to trust him because he's working it out for my good. So I need to do what? Count it all joy, right? God's given us the faith that we need. He's given us everything we need. He's given us the faith that we need to work out the patience. And since patience is one of his fruit, guess what? We don't need to ask for it. Why ask for something that he's already given us? If we believe the 9 fruit of the Spirit, joy, patience, peace, long-suffering, you know, all the 9, we can count them all, right? If you believe that those are his spirit, and if you have the Holy Spirit working, living within you, then why are you asking for something you already got? You see how ridiculous that sounds? We've been studying about that too in class, and I always like to illustrate. If I got this glass of water up here, and you say, "Give me some water," and I give you that water, and you got that water in your hand, and I'm standing there looking at you, and you say, "Give me some water," and I'm looking at you with that bottle in your hand. You still started asking me to give you water. How does that make me feel? How does that make me feel? You don't have to answer me. Just think about it for a minute. He's given us everything we need, and he's telling us to count it all joy. Count it all joy. The 9 fruit of the Spirit represents his characteristics. So we need to stop begging him to give us something that he's already given us. You got that? Amen. Fear not. Fear not. God has freely given us the authority to be victorious in him. This authority, as I mentioned before, has been given freely to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's go over to Matthew 18th chapter and 18th verse. Matthew 18 and 18. He has given us this authority. He told us what to do with this authority, okay? He gives us something, and he tells us how to use it. Matthew 18, 18, Jesus is speaking here. And Jesus says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We have the authority of binding and loosing. How often do we use it, though? By the authority that has been vested in me through the name of Jesus Christ, fear not. Fear has got to get out of the way so I can go on and do what God wants me to do. Fear not. The word of God tells us that if we abide in him and allow his word to abide in us, we can ask anything. That's a promise. Abide in him, rest in him, allow him to be master over your entire life. Don't be shaken by what you see. Don't be shaken about what you hear. Don't be shaken about what you fear. Feel. Fear not. Because all God's promises are yea and amen. All of them, not just some of them, are yea and amen. All we need to do is refuse to allow fear to control our lives. In every situation, moment by moment, all we need to do is trust God. Trust God. Genesis through Revelation. Let's go to Genesis 21st verse. 21st chapter. Genesis 21, 17. We're going to talk a little bit about Abraham and the bondwoman. Okay? Genesis 21:17. We're talking about fear not. And we're studying scriptures from Genesis to Revelation where God either directly said fear not or sent word by his angel, fear not. 17th verse. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. This is Abraham's bondwoman, the one who he'd had a son with because he didn't trust God to wait on the promise. And so he had a son through Hagar. You see, God has had a message for Hagar here. God had some good news for her. God had heard her cries, and he'd heard her son cry. She had put her son underneath a tree during this time because, you see, earlier, and he was really about a teenager at the time, he had stopped mocking. At this time, Abraham, Sarah's son, had been born, okay? And Hagar's son had stopped mocking Abraham, Sarah's son. So Abraham began worried about it, but God told him, I got this, so send her away. So he didn't want to do it, but he sent Hagar away with her son, teenage son. And so they're in the wilderness right now, okay? And Abraham had given her, I'm going to read this a little bit. I don't want to get ahead of my lesson here, but had given her a bottle of water and some, as the country folks would say, some rations, okay? I don't know if you ever heard that term or not. But anyway, God has a message for Hagar here in the wilderness. But he knew he had to tell her to fear not, because at this point, she was afraid because they had run out of water, didn't have anything to eat, and she didn't want to watch her son die, okay? So let's go to Genesis, the 21st chapter. Let's go to the fourth. Let's go back up to the 14th verse. And Abraham, you there? Genesis 21:14. Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, put it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. 15 and 16. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. The water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. She was giving up. She was giving up. She didn't have anything else to feed her child. And so she didn't want to see him die, so she was moving away from him where she could watch him at a distance. And you may be going through something, a wilderness experience right now in your life, and you may feel like maybe all your money is spent, you know, or you just can't, you just don't feel like you got the energy to go on, okay? But let's read on. The 16th, and she went, Hagar went, and set herself down over against him, against her son, a good way off, as it was about a bow shot, telling about the length of the distance where she was from her son, a bow shot. So she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him. She wasn't near him. She sat over where she could see him. And she lifted up her voice and she wept. And the 17th to the 19th verse says, and God, how many know God will hear the voice of his people? And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thou, Hagar? Fear not. God had good news for her. But he knew she was overcome with fear. So before he would share the good news, because he knew she could receive it, he had the message to tell her, fear not. For God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. 18th and 19th. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. There's a message in this for us. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the child something to drink, gave the lad drink. Someone here needs to be reminded that God is God and that he does hear our every cry. Someone needs to be reminded that sometimes we can be too close to the situation. You often hear the saying that you're too close to the trees, that you can't see the forest. I may not be saying it right, but you're too close to the situation that you can't see the forest for the trees. You've heard that? Someone here needs to be reminded that you are so focused on your circumstance, on your situation, that you're not leaning on God for all your needs to be met. Someone here needs to be reminded that we just need to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Lean not to what we can see. Lean not unto what we can hear, Lean not to our own understanding, but of all our ways we need to acknowledge him. Someone needs to know and be reminded. We need to acknowledge him and allow him to direct our path. Someone needs to be reminded that our blessings right here. All we got to do is open up our eyes. Hagar opened, God opened the eyes of Hagar, and she saw that there was water. He told her, you shall live and not die. You shall live and not die. Someone here needs to be reminded to open up your eyes and see the salvation of the Lord. How many know that your blessing, your breakthrough, is just about to be manifested? Just about to be manifested. But your eyes are closed. Your eyes are closed to the truth, is what I'm saying. Your spiritual eyes are closed to what Word of God says. Wait on the Lord. It's closed and you have no idea. God wants to open your eyes, but he needs you to fear not. Just trust him. He hears you. He cares for you. He knows you about to lose it, you see. He knows everything. He knows your blessing. Because, see, remember I said earlier, in the spiritual world, he's already done it. Okay? But we're waiting for it to take place where we can it can be manifested to us. What doesn't God know about that breakthrough? And he wants us to open up those spiritual eyes. Start thanking him for what he's already done. So God opens up her eyes, Hagar, and she sees this well of water, and she goes and fills the bottle and gives her son something to drink. How many know God is still a God of miracles? He's still a God of miracles. God is still a God of making a way out of no way. Amen. God is still God. God is still God. Let's go over to Deuteronomy 1:21. We're still talking about from Genesis to Revelation. Fear not. Deuteronomy 1:21, the first verse. Deuteronomy 1:21. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Para and Tophor, don't worry about the sounds, and Laban, don't worry about the pronunciation, and Hazeroth and Dazahab. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Fear not, neither be discouraged. It's already all right. How many know that's right? It's already all right. Sometimes, you see, you need to be still enough so you can hear his voice. We so busy running back and forth trying to make things our own way. Sometimes we just need to stand still and listen to his voice before we make one step. You may be facing a Red Sea in your life today. Your back, you may think, may be up against the wall. The mountains you may feel are too high for you to climb. But just trust God to part the Red Sea in your life, okay? Because he will cause your enemies to be scattered. Fear is an enemy. Fear is an enemy. He will cause it to be scattered. Let's go over to 2 Chronicles 20 and 17. 2 Chronicles 20 and 17. Very familiar story. King Jehoshaphat. The Lord sends a message to King Jehoshaphat. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not. There it is again. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Fear not. And I say to you this evening, these scriptures remind us, fear not, for the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. And guess what? He already fought it. He already fought it. I think that's good news. So set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. From Genesis to Revelation, his word reminds us not to operate in fear. Isaiah 35 and 4. That's Isaiah 35 and 4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with the recompense. He will come and save you. Remind us from Genesis, Revelations. Let's go up to Daniel 10 and 12. That's Daniel 10 and 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day, I like this, I like all the scriptures, but this one right here, listen to this. Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. From the first day thou setst thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before the Lord, I heard you. He's telling us today, you know, we pray, and because we don't see anything right away, we keep asking for the same thing over and over again, but we need to start thanking him. He tells us, I heard you the first time. I heard you, but see, I need to work something out in you. If I gave you everything you needed when you think you needed it, how would you grow up? How would you learn patience? How would you learn anything? If I gave you what you wanted when you think you wanted it, when you think you wanted it. From the first day you prayed to me, I heard you. He says to Daniel, from the first day you said to yourself, I heard you. Fear not. Pray with supplication. Pray with supplication, then continue with thanksgiving. For God knows when he wants your blessing to be manifested. God knows. He knows when you're ready to receive it. He knows what you need to grow you up. He knows what we need to grow up, saints. From Genesis to Revelation, his word reminds us not to operate in fear. Now, Luke, this is the scripture I've been wanting to get to all evening. Luke, first chapter, 26 to 33rd verse. This is the season we're in right now. This is the holiday. This is the Christmas season, the birth of Jesus Christ. Even on this time when he sends his angel, Gabriel, from heaven, he sends him with a message and tells us, fear not, fear not. Luke 1, 26 to 33. 26 says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. 28 and 29. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed are they, blessed art thou among women. But when she saw him, the next verse says, and when she saw him, she was troubled. She was worried. She didn't know what this was, what was going on. What are you saying to me? Oh, I'm nothing. And you're saying that I'm going to be what? And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. And she cast in her mind, I mean, she began to think in her mind. She began to ponder over, what manner of salutation, what greeting can this be? Who are you? And what type of greeting, what is this? And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, the 31st verse says, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. This is the season that we're celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And the 33rd verse, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. I think that's good news. I think that's news worthy of shouting up. Now, what would have happened? Let me ask you, what would have happened if Mary had remained fearful? So her mind was closed, her eyes was closed to what God had for her. God had selected her as the vessel that he wanted to use for his son to come through and onto earth. In order for her to be a willing vessel, she had to cast out fear. She couldn't worry about, I'm engaged to this man, and the period that they were living in, she knew what she would be facing. So there was much fear for her to have, if you will, okay? I'm espoused to Joseph. We're planning our wedding. I'm a virgin. And you're telling me, what? You don't know what this is going to do to me. She was looking at her circumstances. God told her, fear not. And Luke, the second chapter, Luke 7, the word of God shares where he talks, sends angels to some shepherds. And he tells them to fear not also. So Luke, second chapter, 7 through the 21st. The 7th verse says, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And I'm going to read the 8th. No, I'm going to read the 8th and I'll just keep reading. You can follow me. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, what? What did the angel say to them? Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then I'm skipping on to the 16th, 17th verse. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And we know the story. We know that. But the purpose in reading all that is twofold. This is the season we celebrate the birth of Christ. And I love reading this. I call it the story of the pronunciation of his pronouncement of his arrival. Okay? And Mary. And I love this reading about Mary and how God told her that she's blessed through angels. He told she's blessed. Shepherds returned, the 21st said. They glorified and praised God for all the things they'd heard and seen. And there's a whole lot in that. Matthew, the first chapter of Matthew and the 21st. Joseph, we talked about Mary. Now let's talk about Joseph, because see, he had interest in this too. Mary runs to him. She shares with him what the angel said to her. And Joseph's human. Can you imagine? I'll just let you imagine for a minute if that were you, okay? So God knew he had to deal with Joseph also. So he said, so while Joseph thought on these things, Matthew 1:20 says, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. What would have happened if Joseph had remained in fear, doubtful, and believing? From Genesis to Revelation, God's word tells us not to fear. Luke 8:50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered them, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Luke 12:32. Jesus says, fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. From Genesis to Revelations, fear not. Right, let's go over to Revelation. Some of us are scared to go over there. Don't be afraid to go over to Revelation. It's a beautiful chapter. Revelation, first chapter, the 9th through the 18th verse. The 9th through the 18th verse. I, John, Revelation 1, 9 through 18. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And this is John speaking. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, he says in 10th verse, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches. I'm skipping a little bit. And 12th verse says, I turned to see the voice that spake to me. And behold, being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And the 13th verse, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, and it goes on to explain what he see. I want to skip down to the 17th verse, because he had a lot, this vision shared a lot with him, John. And John says, when I saw him, talking about Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me. I want you to pause for a minute on that one. Fear had come upon John like it comes upon us sometime. And Jesus lays his hand on us to comfort us. And he says, fear not, John. I am the first and the last. Now he's going to share some good news with him, but he needs to tell him first, fear not, okay? 18th verse says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and death. Fear not, I am the first and the last, from Genesis to Revelation. There are so many other that our time will not allow me to go through all of them, but you got the point. Genesis to Revelation, that's from the beginning to the end. God tells us to fear not. God's word remains faithful and true. Fear not. He's a promise keeper. Amen. Fear not, for Jesus said, I would never, ever leave you. Fear not. You can draw strength from God's word. Fear not, Jesus says in John, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Fear not when disturbing things come into your life. Just be reminded that you have two choices. We have two choices. We can either allow them to consume us and rob us of our joy, or we can arise above that. We can rise above that situation, believe in the word of God, wait on the Lord, and live victoriously. Fear not, and still bless the Lord at all times. That's what he wants us to do, right? Bless the Lord at all times, the word says, and his blessings to continually be in my mouth. Psalms, and David says in Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. Can you say that as David says? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Whatever we're going through, that's what he wants us to do. Fear not. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Fear not. Choose to put faith to work. That's a choice that only you can make, you see, in your life. Fear not. When trouble comes into your life, be confident and believe the report of the Lord. Fear not. Don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Just trust in him. Fear not. Remember the comforter is here. He abides in us to comfort us. John 14, 16, Jesus speaks here. And Jesus says, I will pray the Father. Jesus knew he was about to leave his disciples. He loved them very much. He said, I got to leave you guys right now. And they didn't want him to leave. They said, no. Where are you going? Where you going? We want to go. He said, you can't go with me right now. But he says, I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you another comforter. And this comforter is going to abide with you forever. Forever. Fear not. Didn't God promise us he would never, never leave us? Even in the middle of the night, and you might have tears wetting your pillow because of something you may be going through, just remember the Holy Spirit will whisper in your ears, fear not. I told you I would never, never leave you. I told you I would never forsake you. You may be in the middle of the day. You may be on your job. You may be going through some things. You may feel like all alone. A lot of times during this season, we allow the enemy to mess with our minds. And we may be lonely because we might be thinking of those who have gone on before us that are not here to be with us. And the word of God tells us, I will never, never leave you. I will be with you always. Regardless of what you're going through, I'm going to be right here with you. Trust in me. Trust in me. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me. Allow me to order your steps. Allow me to. Fear not, because God did promise us. So whatever comes next, whatever happens, the same God is the God of yesterday, today, and forever. He took care of us last week, didn't he? Last Christmas, we were here. He took care of us through that past year, didn't he? The same God that took care of us in 2010 is the same God that's going to take care of us in 2011. Fear not, for God is God. And without him, there is no other. Fear not, for God wants us to know, just lean on me. Don't worry about it. I am the God who takes care of the sparrow. I'm the God that knows every hair on your head and how many are numbered. If I take care of the sparrow that falls to the ground and I know about each and every one of them, how much more would I take care of you who are created in my image? He loves us so much. God loves us so much. Fear not that whatever comes next, when Satan tries to break your spirit, you tell him, I'm not going to crumble. That was then, but this is now. I'm not going to crumble. For the word of God tells me from Genesis to Revelation, for it is written. You remember when Satan came to tempt Jesus in the mountains? Jesus can't respond. Each time he says, for it is written. What would Jesus do when you go through situations in your life? What would Jesus say about this? What would he would do? For it is written. For it is written. Genesis, Revelation, it's written. I may be leaning, but I'm still standing. Get that, devil. We got the power invested in us, and he got to flee. Fear not. Sure, we'll get discouraged sometimes. God knows all about our emotions. He created those emotions, right? The word of God says, weeping may endure for a night, but guess what? Joy shall come in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy shall come in the morning. When is that going to happen? When you get tired of weeping and when you get ready to trust him? Because the word of God said joy, this joy that Jesus gave to us, the world didn't give it to us. And so this is the same joy that we're supposed to have deep down, because joy is a fruit of his spirit. It's a characteristic of him. We got joy. We don't have to say, Lord, I need joy, because I already got it, because he gave it to us. Fear not, just trust him at his word. Let go and let God. So the next time, and the next time, and the next time you're faced with a situation that seems impossible for you to handle, guess what? You ain't got to handle it. You ain't got to. Don't. Just shrug your shoulders up, because I don't have to handle this. Because God said, for it is written. And you just recite God's word back to him. Because the word of God said, his word will go forth and never, never, never return unto him void. For it is written. God's already parted the Red Sea in my life. I'm going to trust him in the nighttime. I'm going to trust him in the daytime. I'm going to trust him to live in fear no more. The next time you feel like you're about to get a little worn down, just a tad bit worn down, it's all right. Just say, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust. I don't have to handle this, for it's written. He takes care of the sparrow, and he's going to take care of me. The next time, and the next time, and the next time, grab a hold. Keep your head up high and say, I don't have to handle this. God didn't tell me to handle it. What God told me to do is trust in him. Don't you worry. Don't you fret, because guess what? God is yet faithful. My God is yet faithful. Trust in him. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I'll keep repeating that scripture because it needs to get down to our spirit. You said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what? I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Bought with a price. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from the spirit of fear. I'm redeemed from the spirit of deception. I'm redeemed from the curse. And because my Redeemer lives now, I can rejoice and wait patiently for my blessing. Because my Redeemer yet lives, I will rejoice and look forward to see what the end is going to be, because he already knows about it. Because my Redeemer yet lives and all his promises are yea and amen, I'm going to stand still, keep my head up high, and shout hallelujah anyhow. I'm not going to live in fear, because fear doubts God. I'm not going to live in fear, because fear is sin. I'm not going to be moved by my circumstances. I'm not going to move by what I see. I'm not going to be moved by what I feel. I'm not going to be moved by what people say to me. I'm not going to be moved by all the stuff that's going on out there. I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For it's written, eyes have not seen, nor his ears heard, nor has his entered into the heart of man, what God has in store for me. Because I'm going to wait on him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to lean not to my own understanding. And all of my ways, I'm going to acknowledge him. And I'm going to allow him to direct my path. I'm going to stand still. Because God is a God of promise. And what God has promised, he will do. God has promised, he'll manifest to us. All he asks us to do is trust him. Fear not. Get rid of fear. Because we can't operate in faith when we operate in fear. Fear and faith does not mix. Get rid of fear. Anything that does not come from God, we don't need to keep it hanging on to it. If it doesn't come from God, if he didn't give it to us, what are we going to hang on to it for? If it doesn't come from God, God wants us to do what? Trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Lean not to our own understanding. I always like to say to our own feeble understanding. In all of our ways, not just some ways. Everything. Step by step, moment by moment. Take it one day at a time, because Jesus already took the time. Time is nothing to him. He's timeless. He controls time. Amen. Let's stand over the church. Thank you, Father. Let's just praise him right now. Come on, y'all. We got something to praise him for. We can praise him. We can do better than that. Come on, y'all.
Socks are the number one most requested item in homeless shelters. Underwear is the second, shirts are third. At Bombas, socks were first, made with comfortable details for everyday wearing. Then underwear and shirts too, all designed to perfectly fit. At Bombas, every item you purchase means you're donating an essential clothing item to someone in need. One comfortable clothing item for you, one donated to someone in need. Bombas, comfort for all. Get 20% off your purchase at bombas.com/comfy.